What's going on, people? The Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox is here, episode 8 of the podcast, and I will be talking with my mans, Rich P, and we will be discussing some players that we feel will be best after pick number 60, talking about, you know, just playoff picture in general for AFC and NFC. And of course, please feel free, if you are inclined to do so, to support the Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox. Please follow the website link, anchor.fm/the SBW, Nicholas Wilcox. Follow that link and then click on support this podcast and feel free to donate whatever you can donate. And then you obviously be supporting the Sports Breakdown, and all proceeds go to improving this podcast and venturing on to other platforms. I want to thank you for tuning in. What's going on, people? The Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox is here. Episode 8 is here. And I got my boy, we got some special guns in the building today. Because I got my boy Rich P. We used to work together with Fantasy Pros. And we're about to get you right for your drafts. We're going to talk about at least 5 guys that are being picked number 60 or later for your NFL drafts to help you guys that could possibly win your league. And then we'll also be talking about some predictions for the AFC and NFC, just playoff picture in general. Rich, say what's up to the people.
What's going on, everyone? Nick, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be back. Ready to get to it.
Let's go, man. Looking forward to some more of these pods with Rich, because Rich is a great football mind and is always thinking on different tiers versus just your consensus. So that being said, before we dive into fantasy football talk, we're going to talk about just teams who we think we'll start with some teams that made the playoffs last year that will not make the playoffs this year, and then teams that will make the playoffs this season while not making it last year. So, Rich, give me your thoughts on what's going to go down in the NFC for the playoff picture as a whole.
Well, Nick, well, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate that. I want to make sure that point gets across, because I love working with you. But so getting right to it, talking about the NFC, right? So I think there's going to be a big shakeup this year. Now, I am from New York, but I do not have an allegiance to any team. And the reason why I say that is because the NFL is a business, man. They don't care about doing what's right for the fans. They care about what's best for their pockets. So that being said, going into this, I have no allegiance with any team. But I do believe it's going to be a big shakeup. And I think the Giants are going to shock a lot of teams. Shock a lot of people. And I think the Giants have one of the hardest, if not statistically, the hardest schedule in all of the NFL. They open up against Jacksonville. Nick, real quick, I mentioned Jacksonville. Just want to take a moment and, moment of silence for everyone that was affected today in the Jacksonville shooting at the Madden tournament. So, shout out to those people. Really tragic thing that happened in Jacksonville today. But getting back on track, I think that the Giants are going to shock a lot of teams. I think that they're going to be the most playoff-ready team, especially since they were not in the playoffs last year. They're healthier. I think Odell Beckham is going to be the only player that we have seen come back from this type of injury to better himself. And he's going to better himself by milestones. Another team that I really like this year, coming out of the NFC, I really like the Packers. I mean, how could you not? Aaron Rodgers. Their wide receiver core is a little depleted, but when you have Aaron Rodgers, number 12, back there, and you have, you know, the running game that they have with Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones when he comes back, Jamal Williams, I think that they're a recipe for success. And I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings have that division on that much of a hold. Whenever you have number 12 in your division, you got to kind of worry. So those are my two teams where I see potentially making the playoffs this year.
I couldn't agree with you more in those type of takes, because, look, the NFC is so packed this year. And it has been over the last, 3 years. But even more now, it's like you can name 12 teams in this whole conference. And there's only 6 playoff spots and 2 as an overall record. when we're just talking about division winners. For my guys that can make the postseason, you know, I'm going to still stick with them. You know, this team I'm still sticking with only because I just believe strongly that they're just, you know, everyone's just writing them off. But I feel with this team that I'm about to talk about, it will somewhat make sense for some of you. Talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan whatsoever. Can't stand those guys. Every year they get hyped up. They're going to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. Like, ugh. Every year I got to hear that crap. So that being said, why I say Dallas, though, is because now Travis Frederick, you know, has a, you know, he's dealing with a crazy, crazy sickness that's actually affecting his whole immune system. We're hoping that, you know, not only just for football terms, but his life in general is going to be just fine. But he's dealing with that right now. He'll be out for multiple weeks, possibly a few months, if possible. You know, you got Zach Martin's a little bit banged up, right guard, was a little banged up. And other than that, seems like the offensive line will be solid for week one. But all in all, them getting Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games more than what he was or is going to potentially play this season is just a big playmaker for that team. And he's possibly, you know, Vegas has him as possibly leading the whole National Football League, is the favorite to lead the whole National Football League in rushing yards. So that being said, I mean, that's going for the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, Dak Prescott's going to have to prove that he's a passer. And obviously losing Dez Bryant, Jason Witten is going to be huge. But that being said, I feel he can overcome those issues. He's going to prove to you he's going to be a quarterback that can definitely be someone who can really command the offense. And really, you're not going to be able to zero in on just one guy on that offense. And yes, so brings up the point, people are going to talk about defensively how these Dallas Cowboys are going to be. I feel like front seven is actually, you know, really underrated when it comes to their pass rush. There's plenty of guys that could get after the ball. And I just like that front seven. I mean, if Sean Lee is healthy, that's obviously crucial, I think, for this defense. If Sean Lee is definitely healthy, which he kind of hasn't proven me, he's not been over the last few seasons, starting in the middle linebacker position, feels though that defense can get it together. I think as a team, they can get it together. So they're just, I mean, you know, even before these injuries, I was kind of on top of them. Another NFC team I'm going to like and just kind of just, you know, go out there and say, I've already been on record to say that this team could win the division, and that's the Carolina Panthers. I feel like the Carolina Panthers are being very disrespected, and I get it. It's a competitive NFC South, but what they did for Carolina, I mean, for Cam Newton, for the rest of the offense, I feel really goes well for what Cam Newton could really possibly do. And we could potentially see the 2015 of Cam Newton from 2015, where he threw 35 touchdowns and only 10 picks and was the MVP. So we could definitely see that Cam Newton again with North Turner's offensive coordinator, with them getting C.J. Anderson to lighten the load a little bit from McCaffrey. You know, Cam Newton is obviously going to be used at the goal line. Then bringing in D.J. Moore as receiver, you know, I think all in all, you'll get Greg Olsen pretty healthy. Probably won't be as potent as he has been in years past, but he's still a weapon you got to watch out for. Get Curtis Samuel back, who was a guy that they kind of liked as a second receiver, hence the reason why they traded Kelvin Benjamin last year. So I think all in all, the Carolina Panthers can really gel. Obviously, defensively, we're talking about front seven, Luke Kuechly, and that's all I got to say in the middle of that defense. So, I mean, that being said, I think Carolina's being disrespected, and I think they can win the division. You know, so I think another team that can like get in, you know, we've talked about them here and there, but not enough. I really think that if everything goes well for this team, they could put it all together, they'll be a playoff team. And that's Detroit Lions. If we're talking about teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, that could make it this year, Detroit, because Stafford has always been a guy that could put a team on his back. He will be a guy that could, you know, win you ball games. He's proven that. You know, he's proven he's a 5,000-yard thrower a few years ago. So I think Stafford could really put this shoulder to load. You know, they brought in some running backs to really, you know, help him balance the game out more. And defensively, I feel Detroit is definitely underrated. So there's some guys from the NFC that I definitely like. Rich, talk us up about the AFC, because obviously the AFC could definitely be a little bit more marshmallowy.
Yeah, you know, I like your takes on those teams from the NFC. Moving to the AFC, you know, it's funny. Hear me out. I don't expect the Cleveland Browns to go 0-16, nor do I expect them to go 16-0. I do expect them, however, to go maybe 5-11, 6-10 at best. The reason why I say that, Nick, is because Hugh Jackson is not a good coach. I think Hard Knocks has proved it. I don't want to hear that, oh, we don't see everything, because we really don't see everything. But the snippets that I've seen have confirmed my questions about him. And I just don't feel he's a good coach. We don't have a good coach. It's at the top. It's not going to trickle down well. But the reason why I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns is because I think they're going to mess up some people's schedules. Now, Baltimore can't walk in there, you know, into their schedule this year now and say, oh, we're going to be 2-0 regardless because we're playing the Cleveland Browns twice. The Bengals can't do that. The Steelers can't do that. So I think the record in the AFC North will be a little altered this year as different as it has been the past 2 years. So hear me out here. I really think that a team that has a shot and the most realistic shot at making the playoffs is going to be the Baltimore Ravens. I know Hayden Hurst went down. That was one of their first-round picks this upcoming year. They recognize that they need offensive help. They've gotten that with Michael Crabtree. They've gotten that with Willie Snead. And they had it with Hayden Hurst. Hayden will probably be back for like week two, week three. And they drafted another tight end. His name is slipping me right now. But I think that the Ravens have a very good shot. When Terrell Suggs is on your team, you can't count them out. And I think that Baltimore will play tough. And Harbaugh is a very good coach. And I think that they are a team that potentially makes the playoffs this year. There's another team that I also really like. That team is also in New York, and it's the New York Jets. I think that if the New York Jets pick the right quarterback, and they get to the quarterback this year. So if they pick the right quarterback to start week one and to start their season, and if they get to the quarterback, because that was a big issue on defense last year, they will definitely be a wild card contender, without a doubt. I have my reservations about them winning the division because Tom Brady is still there. Again, another number 12. When they're in your division, you don't know. Tom Brady has owned that division for the past, I think, what, 17 years, 18 years, give or take. I think that the Patriots still win the division, but I do think the Jets have a very, very, very good shot as to making it to the playoffs. And then the one other team that everyone's talking about, and I just want to bring this out here, I personally do not think they have a shot at making the playoffs. And as for the Oakland Raiders, I think that they stay at the bottom of the division, and I think the LA Chargers are the only team in the West and out of the entire AFC that had the best shot to make the playoffs that did not make the playoffs from last year. The Chargers, I know that they lost one of their cornerbacks this year already in camp. They have lost Hunter Henry as well. Just some freak injuries that happen to the Chargers every single year with a big injury. But I still think that they have enough with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, and Melvin Gordon to definitely put it all together and put together a 10-6 season and potentially win that division. Because the Broncos, in my opinion, Nick, they're not that good. The Chiefs, they have a rookie quarterback starting. In my opinion, I know he got drafted 2 years ago, but it's going to be his first NFL start. It's going to be his first and I know Max, if he's not feeling it, but I don't think they're going to do much.
It's interesting. I mean, if you want to go by the – I mean, AFC is just a little bit more washed down, in my opinion. I think we both agree on that. I think there's definitely be some possible teams. I definitely – you know, I don't mind the Ravens or the Jets. I don't mind those takes at all, for sure. Obviously, the Ravens can definitely, you know, they're kind of playing with, you know, with money, house money in a sense, because Flacco has something to prove, and they could come at the end of the year, so he's definitely possibly ready to really prove that he once again can be that guy, you know, in the top of the league again. And for the New York Jets, they're definitely there's a lot of young talent on that roster. So can they put it all together? It will be, you know, obviously the question mark. And it's obviously, you know, AFC is definitely open. But there's two teams that I like, and one of them that you said that you don't like. I do like Denver, and here's why. Denver gets a proven quarterback in Case Keenum. You know, one of the things that Denver's been struggling with since Peyton Manning was they didn't have a solid quarterback that can really, you know, not just win them games, but get their guys in prime position to win games. You know, Trevor Siemian, and, you know, they drafted Paxton Lynch. Whew, what a bust. You know, so they've been drafting these guys, and they've been trying to use these guys piece by piece. But that defense for Broncos are still decent. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about Shane Ray, who they drafted a few years ago, was a great pass rusher, in my opinion. You know, you still got Von Miller in the middle of that defense, wrecking havoc.
You know, you still got Chris Harris, who plays on the outside. You know, so I think solidly defensively, I think Denver is a team that will definitely bounce back and be a top eight defense this year. So you're looking at that. If that goes well offensively, you still got Sanders and DT, Demaryius Thomas. And I like the kid Cortland Sutton, who they drafted, who could possibly be the third receiver on that team. So all that going well for them, I think Case Keenum can eat for sure. And I think Denver is definitely a team that's being underrated right now. Another team that I'm going to like, and it's just they didn't make the playoffs last year in the AFC, and they definitely can. The Houston Texans, obviously, because, you know, you have Watson there, who got injured, unfortunately, you know, during the year. And he was obviously on a torrid pace, for a rookie quarterback. And with the weapons around Watson, it just seems like he's ready and healthy. He's more along in the game than Wentz is. So that being said, I definitely like that Houston offense for sure. Just Watson throwing to Hopkins, and then Will Fuller coming back into its own. You know, defensively, they improved. J.J. Watt coming back, obviously, you know, reigning defensive MVP. And brought in Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, for the Cardinals. And, you know, I really thought that him leaving the Cardinals was a great career move for him to possibly see the playoffs. And going to a team that definitely needed his secondary help, I definitely like. They signed Aaron Colvin as well, a guy who got injured very early on in the season for Jacksonville last year and was one of the better slot corners, according to PFF. So I definitely like the Houston Texans. And defensively, I think they'll bounce back for sure. I think both those teams can make the playoffs. And I definitely agree with the Chargers. I just – if they lose Casey Hayward at corner – it's a wrap for the Chargers, though.
Yeah, I think you make good points. I couldn't respectfully just – I think we should agree to disagree on Denver because we won't get anywhere.
But the
Chargers are definitely a pick for me. But you know what, man? You know, you mentioned the Broncos, and the one thing I will make a statement about is can – the Broncos finally put it together. I know that they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but truthfully, that defense won it for them. Can they put it together, meaning can they put the offense together at the same time as the defense? That's a lot of teams' problems, obviously. Their defense is very good. I do think losing a key to leave is a big issue, but if you have 10 other guys that can play, it's totally fine. But, you know, we got to wait and see, and I do agree with you that the AFC is a bit washed down, and maybe they'll prove us wrong. You know, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that's so much of a loss, in my opinion. It just proves that Courtney Roby, the guy they drafted as a corner a few years back, who was playing a lot of the slot, well, now to prove he can play the outside. And I definitely like his skill set. So I'm not going to knock the move as being, like, you know, so abruptive. So, I mean, I definitely like Courtney Roby there stepping up for Akeem Talib. So, I mean, him going to, obviously, the Rams is huge, but I think I think Denver is going to be one of those teams. Like I said, we'll come back again later on in the year. We're like, oh yeah, Denver's like probably 6-3. Like you never know, and see how those things go. But that being said, now we're going to shift gears. Now it's fantasy football time. As we know, we are in the prime season of drafts. I know I got one coming up tonight. I know Rich got one coming up tonight, and we're going to give you guys some awesome value. On guys, we're not going to talk about the vanilla. Ooh, should we pick Zeke over Gurley? You know, come on, we should be able to figure that out by now. We're going to get some real meat on what it takes to become a champion in fantasy football. So that's taking guys, you know, usually after the 60th pick in most drafts. You know, if you're picking a little bit deeper, obviously, you know, it's kind of a stretch more. But these are guys that are going, you know, in 12 team formats. You know, usually after the fifth round in most cases. I'm using my source for ADP is Fantasy Football Calculator. Rich will be using Fantasy Pros. And we're just be going off guys on who we think after the 60th pick, who, you know, you guys should be selecting that could win your fantasy league. We're talking about upside guys who can finish in the top, you know, in some tiers, top 10s in most cases. You know, if we're talking about quarterbacks, we're talking about top five. So I'll go first, and a guy that I don't understand why his ADP is where it's at. And I understand why. It's because, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks here. And we're talking about just, I mean, overall, I mean, QBs, I mean, people are just most, you know, if you're a smart drafter, you're waiting on a QB. You're just kind of just waiting for that run for from your fellow mates to see who's going to take who. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers going in the late third is not something I would do. I'm not sure if you would do that, Rich, but that's just too thick for my blood. But the guy I'm going to get to talking about is Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks quarterback. And I talked about him on my last podcast, and that, you know, Russell Wilson is a guy that is a dual threat, can definitely, he threw the most touchdowns last year, 34. And for the last six seasons, has averaged three touchdowns on the ground with over 540 yards on the ground. So I love the floor and I love the ceiling. Yes, the offensive line is not exactly the best, so that means they'll be possibly playing from behind in some games. And defensively, there's been so many guys that have left that defense. So that just all fuels Russell Wilson. It fuels Doug Baldwin. It fuels Tyler Lockett. It just fuels that whole offense for, you know, consistent shootout games. And that's who I want if I'm selecting in the sixth round, is Russell Wilson. Rich, tell us someone that you think can win, our leagues after the 60th pick.
Sure. So the first guy I want to talk about is Kenny Golladay. I think Kenny Golladay, the receiver from Detroit Lions, second year coming in, he's a vacuum. He's got some nice speed for that large frame of his, but he's very much going to be utilized in the red zone game. He's just going to stand there, and we know Stafford loves to throw the ball 30 times a game. He's going to stand there, look for some balls in the end zone. I think he's going to be a guy that has a large amount of touchdowns. I think his scoring output is going to outweigh where he's currently getting picked. So Kenny Golladay is my first guy that I look for in the later rounds that should really be drafted in the mid to early rounds.
Okay, I got that. And Kenny Golladay is a guy I've talked about over this offseason as well, and heading into this preseason, so I cannot knock you for that. I definitely would like Golladay as a wide receiver. You know, I'll reach for him as wide receiver 4. And would love him as a wide receiver 5. One of the guys for me after the 60, and at running back, we obviously know there's a big drop off in tiers, especially after the 5th round. We're looking for a guy that can have some great upside, and we know that can really like be a three down back and can do it all. So that guy for me is Tariq Cohen, Chicago Bears running back, and Tariq Cohen, you know. We were drafting Tariq Cohen later in drafts last year, expecting for things to happen, and it just really didn't come as, you know, to fruition because of John Fox and these older coaches, just like literally just holding rookies back and everything and stuff like that. I feel like with Matt Nagy coming from the Kansas City Chiefs, I feel like this offense will be rejuvenated. I feel bring tons of life, and I'm not sure. Depending on who you talk to in the industry, people are, you know, kind of high on Jordan Howard. And then I know some people are definitely low on Jordan Howard, especially in that 3rd round. So I love to take Tariq Cohen 7th round. That's probably my RB4, possibly RB3. And let's see what happens, because Tariq Cohen is a guy that can definitely operate outside, move all over the formation possibly. And with Chicago, I think Matt Nagy got some things under his sleeve that he'll be ready to unleash. And if Jordan Howard can't play 3rd down, I really think Tariq Cohen will get all the pass down work that he can get. And he's just a guy that if something happens to Jordan Howard, or if we see something happen like last year where Jordan Howard is not being involved as much because they're behind in games, look out, because Tariq Cohen will definitely be your RB2 at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good analysis, Nick. I like that one.
I think I appreciate that. So who's next on your list, Rich? Who's next on your list?
So let me go back to wide receiver. I'm gonna stay in that category right now because I have one more guy I want to talk about. That's Chris Godwin. I love Chris Godwin.
We love Chris Godwin.
We do. This is a collective unification about Chris Godwin.
This is a staple.
Listen, Chris, Nick, we talked about before teams that we think and have a really good chance of making the playoffs that didn't make it last year. We ended up talking about teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, and we definitely think that they won't make it this year. At 10th, they Buccaneers. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Tampa cannot put it together, because I think Winston's a top 15 quarterback. You know, if I really sat down and did the rankings, maybe he's higher, maybe he's lower, but off the top of the dome, I'm really telling you, Winston's a top 15, top 16 quarterback, team, better than half the other quarterbacks. What I also love is the plethora of wide receivers and the offensive talent that they have. Yeah, I get it. Their offensive line isn't the best, but it's damn sure ain't the worst. It is not the worst. It's good enough when you have the other skilled players like they have. Whereas you look at Dallas has a very good offensive line, and they're kind of lacking besides Ezekiel Elliott in the skilled player position. But Tampa, they have Mike Evans, they have DeSean Jackson, they have Chris Godwin. I believe last year they had Adam Humphrey. Adam Humphreys, I apologize. And they also have a mix of running backs every year. I think running back by committee is fine. I really do believe that. I really believe that Chris Godwin down there is only going to help fantasy owners and help Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously. But I just feel that Mike Evans is not the guy that we all think he is. And I think Mike Evans is a very overrated player. I think Mike Evans has struggles with drops. I think Mike Evans struggles with route running. I think the only thing that saves Mike Evans is his size. So I think that, believe it or not, I'm not saying Chris Godwin overtakes Mike Evans. I'm just trying to sit there and tell you that fantasy owners look at Chris Godwin as a very late round pick. I think he's going in rounds like 10, 11-ish. I think he's going to produce output for a guy you can get in round 7. That's all I'm saying. So, Nick, I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that's just my opinion on Chris Godwin.
I just love Chris Godwin because we look at, you know, a lot of us, especially in the industry, look at, you know, spark scores. We look at guys who has like, you know, big, you know, just big speed, bigger guys have a lot of speed. Chris Godwin, a taller receiver, 6'1", has a lot of speed. Spark score is about, I believe, like 85 percentile. What that means is that he was just like pretty much the top of his draft when it came to spark score. That being said, we look forward to transition on the field. And one of the things I saw immediately with Chris Godwin when I look at the tape is just how his speed transitions onto the field. There's guys sometimes we look at and we're like, okay, this guy has great combine numbers and everything, but does it transition over? And so far in this preseason and that last game of the year against the Saints last year, when Winston, week 17 against the Saints, he catches over 6 balls, over 100 yards in a game-winning touchdown. Without Mike Evans in the game, you know, basically taking over for DeSean Jackson's role, which I believe he'll take over. I think Chris Godwin is just a guy that we are all enamored with, and he's just going way too low. It could definitely be a guy that could be, you know, we could talk about as the Adam Thielen of last year, for sure. Right. I think we're all in on Chris Godwin. I want him in all my leagues. So moving on to, we'll stick a receiver, and this is a guy for me that he's just not on a popular team in a sense, or this is a team that everyone likes to rag on. But for me, his ADP is just ridiculously low. For a guy that finished so high last year, I just don't think he's getting the credit that he deserves. So I'm talking about Robbie Anderson, the New York Jets. Right now he's being picked in the early eighth round. When he literally finished as wide receiver 17 last year. He's being drafted as a 44th receiver off the board. The guy finished over 63 catches, 941 yards, 7 TDs, and he's being drafted as like a scrub, like a wide receiver 4. So I think Robbie Anderson has wide receiver 2 upside, and he could definitely be a baller. He could definitely start for your teams, especially if you're getting a lot of running backs early on. Go and grab your boy Robbie Anderson, because I think he's a guy that I'm be targeting a lot. He's going to get a lot of the volume. He'll be the number one receiver in that offense. So, definitely Robbie Anderson. Who's your next guy you like, Rich?
That's a bold statement, my friend. That's a bold statement. Wow. All right. Moving on to mine.
The people deserve the hits, man. The people deserve it.
But, dude, I mean, listen, I tell you, if McCown was the starting quarterback, we knew that for sure. And there was no question who starts after him. Or if we're not taking it week to week. solid pick. I'd probably pick him a little bit later. I think that, you know, with a healthy Quincy Enunwa and the addition of Bayer Crowell, I think that's going to drop his targets, drop his catches. Drop his targets about 15, drop his catches about 10, 7, give or take. I just think that Robbie Anderson, talent-wise, is one of the more underrated talents in the NFL, receiving position-wise. I'm personally not going to grab him if I see him in those kind of rounds, but we'll see how our drafts unfold and see who's right. And we'll check back in probably December, and Nick, maybe you'll be making fun of me, or I'll be making fun of you. another player I kind of want to talk about is going to the running back position. That suits up weird for 88 for a running back, but Ty Montgomery. And I think Ty Montgomery is a unique character. And I think Ty Montgomery is super talented. He's a guy that I don't want to sit here and use the word dominate, Nick. I think that's an overhyped word, and I don't think it's appropriate for what I'm about to say, but I think that he's a guy that can have an above average year at both positions any year he decides to suit up. So I think that if you put in that running back and you gave him like 150 carries, I think he'd probably average, you know, 4.1 yards a carry, 3.9. Get the end zone for your running rush. He's got some speed and he has some cut ability that's just unreal. He's probably a one cut run running back. That's the running back that I would peg him at, one cut. And I think that his open field speed is just amazing. He's got great vision. And I think you know, we don't talk about this much, Nick, but I think transforming from the wide receiver position to the running back position is amazing. And I think that that really gives him a lot of ability because, you know, Nick, I love talking to you, and I know we're talking to our, you know, we're advising owners right now, but I want to just go into something real quick. The Amazon series, Nick, have you watched it, All or Nothing?
I've seen a few episodes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to point out one thing, and I think you have an amazing platform, and this is why I thanked you at the beginning for having me on this, because I know we can reach a lot of people right here. I want to make one thing clear. I will be the first one to tell you that when Dez Bryant, a couple of years ago, started getting a bad rap about being a bad teammate, about being a bad person, like all this stuff, I was on that bandwagon. I really was. I'll be very honest with you, along to my, you know, kind of mistakes, if you want to call it. But let me tell you something. I watched All or Nothing. I watched, I think it's episode 4 or 3 in this new series, when it's Halloween. And the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Washington Redskins. I won't forget this. It's Troy Aikman and Joe Buck doing the game. And Dez Bryant lines up. It's rainy game. They're coming down to the end of the first half. So Dallas is running the ball. First play of this last series before the half. Dallas runs the ball. As soon as he calls height, Dez recognizes the defense. Bryant does cover one. Tells everyone, cover one. There's a very vocal guy. Cover one. Throw the ball. Okay. Next play. Dez Bryant lines up at the X receiver. Cover one. They run the ball again. Dez Bryant goes back to that sideline, holds up two fingers in the coach's face, and from the media standpoint, Troy Aikman goes, Joe Buck goes, he's holding up two fingers, telling his coaches he's only been targeted twice in this game. Nick, they had him mic'd up. They had Dez Bryant mic'd up. You know what he was saying? That they ran cover one twice. They ran cover one twice. So where are we getting this whole mishmash, you know, thing from? He's not a good teammate. Why are we getting it mixed up? Why is no one talking about that? The reason why I bring that in, he's also number 88, but his vision, I never respected the man for his vision and his work ethic. I've seen him work. That dude is money. So I think that given the ability to, as a receiver, to diagnose defenses, as Ty Montgomery was taught when he came to the NFL, now translating that to the running back position, I think that's what makes him. I just think getting about 50, 60, 70 catches a year as well, combining that with his 400 yards on the ground, I think that's unstoppable. I think Ty Montgomery has the ability to put up numbers that would get him selected in most leagues' fourth rounds. So I know I went on a bit of a tangent and a little off there, but I had to tell you that because to me, I think that's important to know.
I think so, too. I think Dez Bryant definitely gets a rap. That's just not exactly always, you know, people are like, prima donna, this and the third, whatever, Dez, this and the third. And I get that. And yeah, we don't know where Dez is going to be at, but honestly, when we're looking later in the drafts, we're looking for a guy that will have a tremendous upside. And Dez Bryant has obviously been a wide receiver one in his career. He's been a top 10. Now, can he prove that for another team? It's definitely possible. My only problem with Dez Bryant is that he will, like, unless he prove, like, unless for me, you have to use, sometimes like that, you have to use a guy like all over the field. Use him in the slot. You know what I'm saying? Use him on the outside more and mismatches and everything, stuff like that. You know, so you could definitely take a flyer on Dez Bryant because no one's going to draft him for sure. No one's going to draft him at all. So I definitely love the take for sure. I think we'll stick in the same area. And it's a guy that he's just will probably rise up drafts in the next week or so just due to the cast around him. And that being said, I mean, we're talking about the Super Bowl champ Philadelphia Eagles, and we're talking about Nelson Agholor. Right now, Nelson Agholor is like 103 on average draft position for Fantasy Football Calculator, and I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why you ask? Is because Nelson Agholor, you know, he finished last season as wide receiver 30. His teammate Alshon Jeffrey finished wide receiver 29. So what does that tell me? Is that Jeffrey's being overdrafted clearly, and Nelson Agholor is not being drafted enough. He's being drafted in the ninth round, or the eighth round, technically, versus like probably where he needs to be, which is probably the sixth round. So anytime we're looking for value, we're looking for Nelson. We're looking for a guy like Nelson Agholor in a situation in which Philadelphia will be throwing the ball. He will get his opportunities. Mm-hmm. He will get the targets, regardless if Jeffrey's healthy or not. So I love Nelson Agholor. He'll be the wide receiver two in the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles offense that will continue to throw the ball, continue to throw the ball, continue to throw the ball. And he could be a guy that could end up finishing as a wide receiver two later on in the year, or a high-level flex play.
All right. I can't argue that, especially when Carson Wentz throwing the ball. I don't care if Carson Wentz is coming back week three. You know, it's still enough to win you your league, so great take there. I do want to get to one more guy. I talk about this guy a lot, but I think that it's important to note that running backs primarily are the ones that usually get hurt. We invest a lot of draft capital in them. You know, receivers are more easily replaceable, in my opinion, in fantasy.
Right.
So the one guy I want to talk about, I freaking love this dude. I loved him since he came out 2 years ago out of Clemson. He was number 22 for the New York Giants. This dude catches the ball. This dude blocks. This dude runs the ball hard. I know 26 is there, Saquon Barkley. I get it. Dudes, I get it. But if you're in a 14-team league, or maybe a little more, I know some people are a little crazy, do a little more than that. I really think a guy like Wayne Gallman is going to be awesome on the Giants as your football roster. I mean, look at it this way. Coach Pat Shermer mixed in with offensive coordinator Mike Shula. Dude, if you look at their track record, they've never had one running back that just purely dominated. They've always had running backs that spread the ball around, that can all catch, that can all run, that can all block. I think Barkley, they don't want to overuse him his first year especially. I don't think John Ritson gets as much playing time as people think he's going to because he's making the most. Besides Barkley, he's the highest paid running back. I just think that Wayne Gallman is a guy that most likely will not get drafted. And I think that he should be drafted in very, very, very late rounds. I really think that he could be an RB5. Maybe on a good day, RB4, in terms of how he's going to be utilized. You know, Nick, you mentioned the Panthers before. For years when Mike Shula was there, they've always had multiple running backs. Don't get me wrong, last year they used McCaffrey a lot because that was their first round pick. They were planning on using Curtis Samuel as like a running back wide receiver kind of split. And I think that McCaffrey ended up getting the ball a little bit more because Samuel got hurt. That's just my opinion. I don't know if you felt differently about it, but that's just, I feel that Coach Shermer, who's such an offensive-minded guy, who loves utilizing his running backs to the fullest ability, look with Minnesota last year. He had Case Keenum and then Dalvin Cook goes down. You know, he's had a handicap right then and there. So I think Wayne Gallman as a running back 5 is a very, very, very good pick.
I can't agree. I mean, I like it. I mean, for deeper people, you know what I'm saying, who are drafting those 14, 16-team leagues, Gallman will be a bench guy for them. You know you know, and like it really gets scarce after a certain round. We talked about this, especially for running backs. I mean, for any draft, especially, but especially if you're drafting really in those 14, 16 team leagues, you're lucky to get two running backs in the top 30. You'd be lucky,
right,
really
right.
lucky. So it's ugly very fast. So I don't mind that pick for Gallman. I mean, you know, it's going to happen. I definitely see Petrimer and Mike Shula using more than one running back. And could possibly, you know, flanker out Barkley and use Gallman, you know, in certain shotgun formations, and just, you know, move these guys all over the field. So I wouldn't knock Gallman, you know, for being like, you know, a high level bench player for sure. Possibly, you know, something happens to Barkley, then Gallman's right there, to, you know, fitting right in. So I don't mind that.
Right.
I mean,
Nick, you've been around football long enough. I mean, what do you think this Barkley hamstring injury is? Is it now more preventative? And what I mean by that is it, all right, let's not let him play for the rest of the preseason. We've invested too much. We're in a win now mode with Eli as our quarterback, and we see what happened with Odell last year. Do you think it's just, all right, we're keeping him out, or is it something that's lingering?
I think we're just keeping Barkley out, keep him fresh. You want to make sure the guy's fresh and anything. Hamstring injuries is ugly at times, especially when you get them early and they can linger into the season. So I think they're just letting Barkley really rest up so he's ready for week one. And to my opinion, that's, you know, what I have for that, because I think, like I said, hamstring injuries, you want to make sure you get more time to rest those things, making sure things are good to go. Because hamstrings can really, like, you know, hold you down. Anything lower limb, obviously, will hold any running back down. So I want to make sure Barkley is all set to go. Plus, I just picked Barkley, seventh pick in one of my recent leagues. So let's hope he holds up.
Well, I will make sure that he holds up for you. All right, I'll let him know.
Oh, man. Ring, ring, ring. Yeah, Barkley, do your job.
Nick drafted you. Hold up.
I'm going to name two more guys off real quick. And I'm just, I think they're going pretty fairly in some drafts, but you're going to want these guys for sure. So we're going to stay, you know, we're going to go back to receivers for Kim Williams, almost said San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers. You know, Mike Williams was a seventh overall pick the year prior. Just dealt with nagging injuries, you know, eventually that just killed his season. And, you know, I think people are still off Mike Williams, and I think they shouldn't be, you know. Deshaun Watson, what made, you know, Mike Williams really look good as well when they were playing at Clemson together. And Williams is 6'4". He's going to be that big body receiver that they're going to want, you know. Along with Keelan Allen, who we've known for him to not be healthy. I really think if something happened to Keelan Allen, Mike Williams will be the guy that you'll be kicking yourself to get in draft sooner in your drafts. And Mike Williams can definitely possibly win your league if Keelan Allen is out for a period of time and whatnot. And even if he's not out, I think Mike Williams could still be a flex play later on in the year when things start gelling, because let's just face fast. Antonio Gates is not back with the team. Hunter Henry was lost for the season. You know, like, who else are you really going to go to? They talk about Tyrell Williams, but come on, let's be real. They're going to give every chance and opportunity for Mike Williams to shine. You don't draft someone top 10 in the draft just for him to like ride the pine and for you not to give him much opportunity. I really like Mike Williams, and he should be drafted a couple rounds actually sooner than he is right now. One more guy we're going to talk about, and going back to running backs, it's just obviously it's scarce, and you want someone that's going to be able to produce for you. Or if not, have some upside to possibly do that. So my guy, and he's getting picked like early eighth round in some cases, possibly should pick probably a round sooner to make sure you get him. Correction, no, he's not. According to ADP calculator, fantasy football calculator, he's getting picked top of the ninth round, 102. That's Aaron Jones for me, Green Bay Packers. Now, let's just see what happens, because I like Aaron Jones here. Only because out of all the Green Bay backs, I know Jamal Williams get a lot of hype in that regard. But I like Aaron Jones because of what he produced in such a small sample size. Aaron Jones, you know, in a smaller sample size last season, played four games and had over 500 yards rushing. And that's something for me to look for. I don't exactly look for small sizes, sample sizes all the time, and those are usually not something you should always look for. But I feel as though that Aaron Jones is the best athlete among all those guys and can be used on all three downs. Plus, the Green Bay offense obviously is known for, you know, having an upside advantage and obviously being one of the topper offenses in the league. We obviously New England, New Orleans, when Green Bay falls in that, you want a piece of that offense somehow, some way. So that's just a great way for you to get some value, especially at a position that's really, that changes year by year and can really change week by week. Aaron Jones will miss the first two games, but that's all a reason why probably people will stay away from him. And I love drafting him, especially as probably possibly my last running back. So I know you like someone else in that same team, in that same position, don't you, Rich?
Yeah. You know, like we talked about it before, Ty Montgomery. I think that he's someone that can just dominate on both sides of the ball. And what I mean by that, offensively speaking, both sides, as in receiving, as in rushing. Running backs obviously do both. The really good ones are great at both. But I think that Ty Montgomery, man, I can't discount Aaron Jones because, like you said, the 500-plus yards in four games, rushing, like, right then and there for fantasy owners, that's 50-plus points, you know? So I get it. But I'm going to say Ty Montgomery, I'm leaning towards only because I know that he can catch the ball and line up in other positions too.
Understandable. I mean, you know, there's going to be games that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be that, you know, it's going to be running that offense, and we all know he's going to be, you know, zooming around. So as a bonus for the listeners, there's pretty much, you know, training camps and battles and positions are kind of over with. But what is one situation that you're really keying on to and that could really be fruitful for our listeners out there?
Wow. You know, it's funny because I look at the Philadelphia Eagles and I look at their offense and I think that the Philadelphia Eagles as a team, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for this and people are going to say I'm the hater, I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles are that good. I don't think that they were that good last year either. I think they got lucky. I really do. I think that their defense is overrated. I think that they added Michael Bennett. I get it. I'm not a huge fan of Michael Bennett on the field. I don't think that he's that good. I think his mouth does most of his talking for him. Whereas I would rather see someone play do most of the talking. Like, we can both agree Jalen Ramsey talks a hell of a lot, but Jalen Ramsey backs that up real quick with his play. I think Michael Bennett's the opposite. You know, so, yeah, Michael Bennett, they had a Haloti Ngata. God bless, whatever. I don't really care. Because all you need is about 0.8 seconds, 1 second to read their defense and just slants. West Coast offense will beat that in a second. The secondary is not that good. Anyway, I look at the Eagles, and their running back situation is so unique. They are not a running back by committee kind of team. They're running back by a community type of team. I feel like every single day they have new running backs that just do something great. So a lot of people are telling me, you know, hey, Jay Ajayi, I'm keeping him. You know, keeper leagues and in dynasty leagues and even redraft leagues.
Tell them why that's a mistake.
Dude, I am not about Jay. I'm not about him. I think he's very talented. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the situation that he's in. That's the question you asked. Which situation are we going to avoid here? And it's most unique. And I just think that Jay and the Philadelphia Eagles with Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, Darren Sproles still there. Like, the four guys right there. Yeah, plus Jay Ajayi. That's the fourth guy. Like, are you kidding me? There's no way Jay Ajayi. There's two things that I see from Jay Ajayi. If Jay is having some 8 yards to carry, hot hands. But if you're telling me that you're just running the ball at your regular team, you're averaging 3.8, 4.2 yards per carry, you're going to keep giving it to the same guy, there's no way. And, you know, Nick, we have to do another podcast because another episode because I have this whole thing planned out. I tell this to everyone because people, you know, we're stepping away from fantasy for 1 second here, but people always like, you know, pay your receivers, pay your running backs. I'm going to sit here and tell you, I'm not going to go into detail, but I will sit here and tell you that running backs and receivers do not need to be the highest paid players on your team because if we look through the past few Super Bowls, last year the Eagles won. You can't tell me the Eagles had a top five receiver on their team. You can't tell me the Eagles had a top 10 running back on their team. The year before that was the Patriots. The Patriots do not have a wide receiver that's top 5, a running back that's top 10. It's collective. It's keeping your guys fresh. You mentioned that word before with Barkley.
Yep.
Keeping your guys fresh. And that's what it is about offensive players. And I do like the D-line thing that the Eagles are trying to establish with keeping all their guys fresh. So I like their running back by committee situation. I don't like it for fantasy owners. I would say stay away from Jay Ajayi because he's being picked way too high.
I gotcha. I definitely feel you. And before we wrap up, I'm keying on to, and it's pretty important. Because I just look at the factors of what's going on for this certain team, and it's just starting to gel together for this player. It was not before, before the preseason started, but I've really zeroed in on the situation. And I'm talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm talking about the running back position. And the guy I love is Jordan Wilkins. And watching the tape before he got drafted at Ole Miss, the Colts end up selecting him in the 5th round. They also have the rookie Nyheim Hines there and Robert Turbin suspended for 4 games. And then, of course, Marlon Mack. And that sounds muddled. I get it. Marlon Mack won't be ready for week one. Pretty much a good chance he won't be ready for week one. Nyheim Hines was fumbling the ball everywhere this past preseason. And Robert Turbin is suspended for 4 games. Where does that leave my boy? He's ready to eat, man. So Jordan Wilkins, a guy, you know, I just feel that it's especially late in the draft, you're going to get this guy so late. People are not going to be always on him. The 11th round is where I'll probably target him. And, you know, everything's going right for him. And Jordan Wilkins, I feel, is a 3-down back. And with Andrew Luck, you know, there's rumors about him not being able to throw the ball having so much air and arc in his throws downfield. Makes me to wonder and believe that will he be checking down it more? Will he be putting T.Y. Hilton into more positions to win in short and intermediate passes? And then Jordan Wilkins being able to dominate on the linebacker levels. I just feel that Jordan Wilkins is prime to succeed, or at least have the first chance and opportunity to do so. And if he does, we're looking at a guy who can really soar. Not only up your draft boards, you better be lucky to get him off the waiver wire right now, because I'm telling you, look out for Jordan Wilkins. He is my guy that I feel that'd be one of the guys that really can break out at the running back position and be a part of your championship roster. I'm saying it now.
All right, you heard it here first.
So that being said, guys, we appreciate you guys tuning in to the Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox. My big Rich P, tell the people where they can follow you at.
All right, guys. Follow me on Twitter at @rpallarino_. It's @rpallarino_. And Instagram at @rpallarino_.
We got you, Rich. And we'll be doing this again, man. And we definitely appreciate you coming on the pod today. And giving all the listeners the love and the advice.
Nick, thanks so much for having me. Guys, good luck in your fantasy football leagues this year.
Absolutely, man. Go crush your draft tonight, brother.
You too, bro. Talk to you later.
All right, man.